All right, great to be with you on this Monday morning, and what a terrific Monday morning it is. Joe Cameron, John Ritchie. Seth Joyner, an individual who knows what it's like to be part of a team that comes together and improves as things go on. 88 Eagles did, 89 Eagles did, 90 Eagles did, 91 Eagles did. They went from 3-5 to 10 wins. So teams can certainly improve in the course of a season, and individual players can as well. And for more on that, Seth Joyner, who's with us every Monday at this time, brought to us by Bradford White Water Heaters. How you heat your water, it matters. So whether it's a tank or tankless model, choose Bradford White. Visit bradfordwhite.com. Seth, good morning, bud.
What's happening, man? Hey, James, give me a little more of that flow, man.
A little more Nas?
Oh, yeah.
And a little bit less of me talking over it? Is that the idea?
No. See, this is the good thing about rap like this. Like, I can do a show just like this.
Sure.
Just let the music flow just a little bit more, James.
That's what I'm saying, but let's class it up a bit. I think the Last of the Mohicans theme song is an extra level of historical classiness that you could do the same thing. Right, Jimmy, do you have that bed available?
Yeah, handy. I can get it.
Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Nas If I Ruled the World as Jalen Hurts right now. That's what I'm feeling. Right, Seth?
Oh, for just a bed underneath everything that you say?
It's amazing, John, how attitudes change from one week to another.
Well, I was being a little tongue-in-cheeky there.
I get you. I get you. I felt your pain yesterday, you know.
Yeah.
After Jalen almost threw the interception, I put a tweet out, and you know how those things age on Twitter.
Ooh, I know.
When things go the
Not
other
well.
Way.
Not
well. No. So, Seth, listen, all right.
It aged the way it should have.
Yeah. Let's small picture to start, then big picture question two. Question one. Let's start with him for a second. Let's just focus on him for the first two questions here. Question one, how did you think he played yesterday?
I think he played an extremely solid game. He made the plays that was there. And for the first time, he took the low-hanging fruit and he took the layups. And this is what I've been saying about this offense all along. Don't go after the big play all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Take what's there, possess the football, and when the opportunities present itself, then you throw the ball down the field.
So it was finding that balance. Like, it is a new offense. These are new concepts. I know that just by the way these coaches talk in press conferences, mm-hmm. the big play is the discussion point on both sides of the football. Stop the big play on the defensive side. That's our identity. Make the big play on the offensive side. That's part of our identity. So this is spoken ad nauseum to these players all the time. Big play, big pit, big play, big play. But, you know, we are sort of balancing that now. And Jalen's doing a good job of knowing when to let it fly. You know, when to, you know, take the one-on-one and take a chance. And when to keep it and actually check it down, although we don't see the checkdowns as much as I'd like. Some of the decisions that he makes does have everything to do with our success, and we don't even know. We don't even realize the decisions that he's making within the run game itself. It all worked in this game, Seth, and I can't imagine a week-to-week plan coming together better than this one did. The problem is, it feels like this is the first time we've seen it really come together. So, is it replicable?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was, first of all, the most impressive thing to me is he looked decisive yesterday for the first time in a very long time.
Totally agree. Sure,
no question.
When his foot, that back foot hit the ground, he knew where he wanted to go with the ball. There was no hesitation. He ripped it with great accuracy. And that's a positive step in the right direction, because that begins to tell me that now he's beginning to grasp the offense. You know, I talked about it a couple of weeks ago that, you know, when a quarterback closes his eyes in a passing play, he's got to be able to imaginarily look over the field and be able to tell you where everybody is to an inch of a yard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When a quarterback gets there, that tells me he understands his playbook much, much better, which allows him to make the most accurate of plays and to play with anticipation. You know, Troy Aikman made the statement a couple of weeks ago that these the Dallas receivers don't run great routes. And it's very hard to play quarterback when your receivers aren't where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. And I think we heard Devontae Smith say the same thing yesterday in a different kind of way. He said, life's easier on Jalen when we are where we're supposed to be. So all of these things.
That's interesting. They made other statements, too, during that Dallas Cowboys game about how Dak is now making a point to try to carry out his play fakes after he's handing it off to try to pull, or try to hold the backside of these run plays. You know, these little details, they matter for our team,
Absolutely.
Too, for our offense, too. All these little details make a massive difference.
All right, so, Seth, are you a believer in this team from a high-end standpoint? Like, they are what now? And how far are you ready to go with belief in this squad?
You guys heard me sit right here for, ever since they came out of the bye. And what did I say? Baby steps. And I said, dare the Eagles take their franchise $51 million per year quarterback and turn him into a game manager and rely on Saquon.
And you think they've done that, right?
Well, I think they've balanced things up.
I agree.
And they've gotten away from this, pass first, explosive play mentality just a little bit. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that because there are times to do that. There's times for opportunities. There's going to be times, like what I like to do, now that there's enough games, in the books, is now I like to go to the rankings before each game each week. And what I want to know, where does each defense rank? Okay. Where do the Cincinnati Bengals rank? Okay. They were averaging giving up 136 yards per game coming into yesterday's game.
Rushing?
Rush defense.
Yeah.
I like keeping track of this too, Seth. Mm-hmm. I think that this stat does matter. Mindset or something.
John, it shouldn't matter from a game planning standpoint. Okay. But at the other end of the spectrum, they rank 21st. Versus the pass, giving up 217 yards per game. So when I'm watching this kind of stuff, I'm looking for the tells that tells me, okay, where should the Eagles be attacking today? So if a team's not very good against the run, then we should attack that weakness. If they're not very good against the pass, don't get me wrong. I like to see the Eagles run the ball, and I think the run balances things up for them. And even though the last two games they've been a little out of whack, but I think that's a smart thing to do in order to bring Jalen back to where we need to have him. But there are also going to be games, dare I say, where they're going to be the opponent is going to be weaker versus the pass than they are the run, and you're going to have to attack that. So that means you might wind up throwing the ball quite a bit more than you run it. Now, that doesn't mean you completely abandon the run because you got to make a defense play you honest. But the lion's share of your reps that day are going to go towards attacking what they're weakest at.
Nick keeps reminding us of that sort of thing. He does talk about, hey, we're going to do whatever it takes to do to win that game that week. And it really is like a week-to-week puzzle that they did a really good job of this week. And Jalen did a really good job of preparing this week.
He had a good understanding. It was almost like a switch went off in his head. It was the most amazing thing. Like, in the first quarter, I tweeted, it is the most frustrating thing in the world to watch this football team. Cincinnati goes up 7. The Eagles go on their nice little drive the first series of the game. They make one bad play call that loses them 2 yards, and then they get a penalty, which puts them in a position where they got to take a field goal. Then they come back the next series, and I think they ran 7 plays, and they had to punt. And Jalen almost throws an interception on the sideline to Kenneth Gainwell. And I'm like, I'm not ready to pull what little hair I got left out of my head.
Let me ask you a question before you keep going. At that moment, because I saw your tweet, and I want to read it to everyone listening. Here's what Seth tweeted at that time. I've defended Jalen Hurts as far as I can go, hoping he'd figure it out. That ball to Gainwell leads me to believe he had no clue that since he was in man coverage, if he thought he could go there. #very concerned. Let me ask you this question. At that moment, Was that the most down you had ever been on Jalen Hurts, big picture?
No, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
So you were really down. Okay, so then things completely changed in the next three quarters.
Well, why were you so worked up about that?
Because
it all led up to it. I mean, it was the last recent weeks also, though, right?
No, absolutely. Yeah. It's a cumulative thing.
Totally.
And when people go in on social media, oh, this didn't live well. Well, you got to remember, it's like past trauma. We watched this offense struggle, and we watched our quarterback leading up into that game, the last, 20 games, have a turnover every single darn game. And then he puts that ball in harm's way, and the first drive doesn't work out because, you throw a bad ball, and I get it, the play was called, so you got to go with the play call. You lose 2 yards, then you turn around and you have a penalty that stalls out. And then that, we had seen that picture how many times? Now, don't get it confused, Joe. I sit here and I argue with you till the cows come home.
I know.
I've been a supporter of Jalen Hurts forever, and I think he's a phenomenal quarterback. But when you see them making these decisions and making mistakes like that, it begins to like remind you of things that happened in the past. And it's like, oh, wow, here we go again. So, people got to kind of understand sometimes when you're watching the game and you're emotionally invested in this team, well, guess what? Tweets like that are going to come out.
Sure.
And everybody's like, oh, that didn't age well. I'm like, it aged as it should. I'm happy to see him turn it around, but that still was not a good decision.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And, I think, and like I said,
but it was made trickier. That decision was made trickier on that play by pre-snap motion. The linebacker was surprising to Jalen's eyesight because of the pre-snap motion, because of the way the defense played it. I thought at the time maybe that was not what they expected. Maybe that's not the way the defense reacted in practice when that motion went.
The only way that you make that throw that quickly, because his read was to the right and Gainwell was to the left, the only way that you make that throw almost without even looking over there is that you think that they're in zone.
You predetermine.
And that linebacker is off of the man.
Sure.
Okay? But because of his read.
Well, I think he didn't think to look. I think it was like a reaction.
Now you understand my frustration.
But Seth's point is know it.
Yeah.
Beforehand.
Well, I think it's a bad play. It's a bad play, and he's going to say, okay, I know that's a bad play. I'm going to not make that mistake the next time we run that play.
That's fine.
And to me, I'm good with that. It sucks that he missed it, though.
It's not the fact that he missed it. It's the fact that he threw it.
Because if you
scan to the right, and all of a sudden you come back and you throw that ball to the left without looking first, that tells me that you might not have known that they were in man coverage and that that guy was hugged up to that running back that close. But, listen, that being said, Joe, from that point on, it was almost like something clicked in his mind, in his head, and he just turned into a whole different quarterback, a whole different animal.
No question.
It was phenomenal to watch.
Phenomenal. All right, let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Seth Joyner with us in studio for an hour. Joe in Mayfair right now. What's going on, Joe?
Well, I hope you're eating your crow today, Mr. DeCamera. I'm one of the biggest Hurts fans. And yesterday's second half offense to me was not the same playbook as they've been running. I haven't seen the Eagles offense where receivers were open 3 to 5 yards with nobody around them. Almost every Jalen completion, there was space for the receiver to move after he caught the football where there weren't tight windows. They ran Barkley left. They ran him right. They ran him off tackle. They ran him between the tackles. The play that changed my mind in the fourth quarter, up by 10, and Jahlen Dotson ran behind Hurts in a motion play, ran to the right, and Hurts drifted to the right, and the flow of the offense was going to the right, and I haven't seen the Eagles run any misdirection. And Cal Kvecchia runs a drag route about 3 to 5 yards behind the defensive line.
Mark Calcaterra was in this game?
Calcaterra?
Calcaterra?
Calcaterra.
Holy mackerel.
It's like, what?
And then, but Gainwell ran a deep route that took the linebackers deep, and Calcaterra ran a drag route, and Hurts hit him with a nice, easy 3 to 5 yard pass that got him 10 yards when they're up by 10 in the fourth quarter. I'm waiting for this team to run plays to allow to create space. And when you have an offense where the defense doesn't know if you're running the football, if you're going left, if you're going right, are you going deep down the field? The Bengals' defense in the second half was off balance because the Eagles' playbook, to me, opened up.
I agree.
To where they weren't running the same exact crap that they ran all the time. And the great thing about what I saw yesterday, and Seth, you were exactly right, Jalen's confidence to throw the football quicker is when he knows the receiver's not going to be in an area where it's a tight window. If the window's not completely tight, he'll let it loose. And yesterday, for some reason in the second half, I don't remember one catch that an Eagles receiver made that there was a defender on top of them. And when you have an offense that is clicking, that is doing multiple things on every play where you don't know where they're coming from, a defense can't anticipate what's happening, which gives receivers extra time to run a route. It gives your quarterback more time to look around the field and go through your reads.
All right, Joe, we got you, man. A lot of stuff in there. We got you. All right, let's keep it rolling here. Let's get to Steve in Willow Grove. Steve, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
What's up, Steve?
Hey, Seth, real fast. Brandon Graham, I'm watching this game. This guy looks like he's 25 years old playing out there. Like, he was blocking run lanes to create the tackles for everybody else, and then he's making the tackles. Like, this guy looks great.
Steve, I think we need to rip Seth for retiring in his mid-30s. I mean, what was wrong with Seth for not playing until he's 40? I'm just talking out my ass. When did you play until Seth?
33. They didn't let me take, you know, only play 55 to 60% of the plays. If they would have done that, maybe I would have stayed in the game 18 years.
But hey Joe, Seth played real football. They let you hit people back then.
You know what to tell me, man. I'm well aware. You know? I saw all his games.
It all started on Friday with that hammer pounding that set the tone for the weekend. So
I don't know if we need the word pounding in there, but yeah.
Yeah, that was aggressive.
I won.
That victory on Friday set the tone. And Seth, I don't know if you know this or not, but you've been awarded the stylish dresser at WIP on Friday. I picked Ruben, and everybody told me you're the best dresser.
Really?
Yeah. Awesome. I mean, Steve, it's true. Seth, no one's even close. Like, we determined on Friday when you dress up, you're the best-looking dresser. When you dress down, you're the best-looking dresser.
I don't know about that, but, you know, I come from an era where, you know, you dressed up. People don't like to dress up anymore.
Devontae Smith dresses up.
Oh, yes,
have you seen, like...
You see that outfit yesterday?
He's got really nice suits. I don't know anything about suits. I can tell he's really got some good suits.
You know, listen, this isn't shade to anyone, but I think your style says a lot about who you are and how you think about yourself. You know, like, there are times...
Maybe. So does that mean his style allows him to go, like, one catch for minus 2 yards and not get worked up about it?
And listen...
The confidence?
The thing about... Oh, my gosh. You know, last week we talked about confidence. Did you see the video somebody cut up and put up on social media?
Not sure.
It's pretty awesome. I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
Last week we talked about confidence. And I think that, you know, when you're fashion forward and you are confident about yourself and how you dress, like somebody put on our chat yesterday during the post-game show, man, Seth's been wearing a lot of pink. Well, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Oh, wow.
My grandmother.
That is intentional, sure.
My grandmother and my mom dealt with that, you know. So, of course, you know, I'm gonna pay homage to that. But I like pink. So what's the problem?
Of course.
You know.
I mean, you can pull pink off. DeCamera, he does
more of a salmon
thing.
Yeah.
And it's not as effective. It's not as effective as Joe goes salmon.
Listen, Seth, you know the deal. They just like to pick on me.
I know.
Guys like Seth and me, you know, guys that are ballers, we get it.
But 215. John, but to your point, you know, it takes confidence to wear some of the things that I wear. And I don't really care what anybody says.
Yeah.
You know, I wear what I wear for me. Sometimes my wife would be like, I don't really like that. I'm like, well, today I'm wearing this for me. I ain't wearing it for you.
I got to tell you something real quick, though. I actually noticed something about you the last few weeks. I think you care a lot about what people say on social media, more than you should. I'm noticing that with your commentary.
You know what it is, Joe?
They're bugging you. I know they're getting to you a little bit.
No, you know what it is? This is what it is. I am fine with debate. And I'm okay in this era of cancellation and everything else.
Yep.
I'm okay with you having a difference of opinion. Okay? We can differ and have a difference of opinion, you know, and agree to disagree and then, you know, go have a drink afterwards.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Or, you know, I'll pound you up, you pound me up, we go our own way. But what I don't do well with is the disrespect.
I know.
The disrespect pisses me off. And that's the thing that makes me go in on people and go back at people because, you know, you like to hide behind your little 280 characters, you know. But the things that you say to me on social media, if I was standing in front of you,
of course,
you would never say it to my face.
Of course.
So if you wouldn't say it to my face, then don't say it to me via social media.
But here's my advice.
Because the one thing I don't do, the one thing I don't do is I'm never the first person to disrespect somebody else.
I know.
When you come to me, you come at me, I'm coming back at you, and I'm going to finish you because I can cut you up 100 different ways with words.
Look, it's two different approaches. You and I approach it very different. I'm just telling you, like, I would just offer, consider just not, who cares what that idiot thinks? That's just me. But, you know, you have a different approach, and I get it. All right.